Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And now,
my fellow citizens,
my fellow Americans,
allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Gabe Ramirez, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
I think I gotta listen to Charles Barkley. I might have to rethink this intro. Tyler, you made this, didn't you?
No, this wasn't me.
Oh, this wasn't you?
Credit to Robbie Triano.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to rethink this one. I'm a guy that doesn't like to ruffle any feathers. So to me, I wouldn't mind, you know, some just regular old intro music. I'll work on that. Maybe I'll do that myself. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 Score. Going to be hanging out till 9 o'clock. Got some really good guests on the show, too. Going to be talking some gambling later in the 8 o'clock hour. I know that's 2.5 hours away, but, you know, if you're at home listening on the Odyssey app, you never know. You want to win some money tonight. I'm sure we'll be talking about some college basketball going on a little bit later. We got Sam Monson from the 33rd team hanging out with us at 6:25, so we can talk some NFL, specifically the Chicago Bears. What's going on with them? We'll get his thoughts. We're going to be talking to Herb Howard at 8 for some Bear stuff as well, and then Eno Saris at 7, because, of course, we got some big news. Before I get to my big Bears thought, you guys know I'm a Sox fan, and, of course, the news came down the pipe today. Garrett Crochet, in fact, getting traded to the Boston Red Sox. Now, for the majority of us Sox fans, you know, you kind of have that thought. I even got into my other friend, his name is Gabe as well, on Twitter. We're talking about, you know, what's the point? If you're a Sox fan, what is this cycle? What is this carousel that I'm on where you have top-tier pitchers and you're constantly trading them? You're like a farm system for the rest of the of Major League Baseball where you're allowed to then trade them away for more prospects. You didn't see the air quotes that I did there. But the White Sox traded Garrett Crochet to the Boston Red Sox in exchange for a package of prospects. The one that's the most head-scratching for me is Kyle Teal. He's a catcher. Going to play some clips from Chris Getz as to why he feels Teal and Carroll, a guy who they got on a trade as well, another highly sought after catcher, why the both of them can kind of coexist in the NFL, or excuse me, in Major League Baseball. We'll do that in a little bit. I got Braden Montgomery, who a lot of people are high on, injured last year, Texas Tech guy. People think he can be someone that can play all three positions in the outfield. And of course, White Sox just let go, or, you know, parting ways with Gavin Sheets. So that's somebody else that they're going to have to be, account for. Infielder Chase Meadroth, right-handed pitcher Wickelman Gonzalez. Now, where do they rank, right? Because that's what most people look at. Not that's what, and Lord knows, when you're talking about the Red Sox, you know, Yoamakata, people like that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen necessarily, but Teal is the Red Sox number 4 prospect, Montgomery the number 5, Madroff the number 11, and Gonzalez the number 14. Tyler, I do want to play some cuts. I want to go right to it. And I want to play the cut. We're going to go 84. I want to hear him talk about the possibility of Teal and Carroll both catching at the major league level.
Yeah, we feel like they could both be catchers for us at the major league level. And I speak to, you know, you've got a switch hitter in Edgar Caro that's really strong from the right side currently. And you've got Kyle Teal that's left-handed and has versatility in his background too. So, going back to just the goal, the catching position is just so valuable and such a hard position to fill, to have two guys like that and then a Corey Lee. Going back to talking about, you know, foundation of an organization, so many things start in the middle of the diamond and it begins at the catching position and how much they can impact the game with game planning and just directing traffic on a field. So to have strength there was really important to us. We were able to accomplish that. But then, you know, you get a Chase Mydroth that can play all three positions. He's been an offensive force throughout his minor league career. And to be able to get someone that just had pretty much a full season at Triple-A, he's knocking on the door. But we've got upper-level talent in this return. I love the character of the players, but most importantly, these are impactful major league pieces.
I know what Garrett Crochet can do. I'm not necessarily sure what the other four prospects can do. It'll be interesting to see how soon they'll get on the field. That was Chris Getz talking about the trade. He mentioned that 5 teams were interested. I talked to Chuck Garfine yesterday on CHSN's The Chicago Lead, filled in for David Hall there. We talked to Chuck, and he said 12 teams, that's what he was hearing at the winter meetings, were interested in Garrett Crochet. He said 6 were interested in Luis Robert Jr., so we'll see if Getz can pull off something there. But let's hear Chris Getz talk about what it was like closing the deal for Garrett Crochet.
When the deal gets consummated, is there what is that rush is like for you? Is it similar to when you got a big hit as a player or your team won? What does it feel like for you?
It can be a little bit of an adrenaline rush. To comp it to a feeling on the field. I guess it depends on what kind of hit. In my case, there weren't many home runs, but maybe some bunt hits here and there. But this is right up there. It is. You've got a team that's been working on this, that preparation allows you to be more confident in the decision. And that's why you bring a supporting crew here and certainly surround yourself with the best people you can to make decisions.
Bruce Levine with a good question right there. I mean, listen, I got to be honest. I really wanted him to say something along the lines of, it's feeling a bit, ambivalent. I'm conflicted. We're losing out on a guy like Garrett Crochet. Like, I wish he would have said that along with what he said, right? I do want him to have the adrenaline rush when you are negotiating with 5 teams, letting them know, like what prospects are out there, what people are thinking, and then to actually finally pull the trigger, shake the hand and kiss the new baby. And then, I understand that, but I did want him to feel a bit conflicted with the dual emotions because it's still Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet, like, if there was one reason you were watching White Sox baseball last year, it was certainly him, even though it was only for a couple of innings, but it was good to watch. And I'm sure, I talked to my friend, as I mentioned, Gabe on Twitter, and he was saying, why are we in this carousel of talent where we're, getting good talent, trading it away for new prospects, letting them get good, then trading them away. And I said, man, listen, to be honest, like with yourself as a Sox fan, you have to understand White Sox aren't winning the World Series next year, and they're certainly more than likely not going to the playoffs. Look at me, my fandom came out right there and said more than likely as if, anyway. But if in fact the White Sox got some guys that are gamers, and I'm talking about, Bobby Witt Jr. gamers, guys that are playing hard every day, regardless of the history of the Chicago White Sox or the last 5 or 6 years. These guys are just coming in and playing hard. And you know what happens with teams like that? They win some games they shouldn't, and they lose some games they shouldn't, but at least they're entertaining every single day because you're not sure what you are going to get in them. That's what we're hoping for. As Sox fans, I'm sure as the front office, of course, they're looking for some gems, you know, within the deal. But it's going to be hard. No Garrett Crochet on the team. You know, how are you going to build out this rotation without a guy like Garrett Crochet?
So do you look at those four younger guys, Drew, Davis, Sean, Jonathan Cannon, as the rotation nucleus right now?
Yeah, we've got Jairo Iriarte that came up with the bullpen as well. So, you know, he'll get a long look in spring training. You know, we'll look to make some additions as well this offseason. We've got some other arms and Mason Adams that will be in major league camp in a guy. So we think that we still have the depth starter innings. With that being said, we're gonna see if we can bring in some guys that can stabilize and protect those guys too.
I know what that means. And it's Chris Getz talking about building out the rotation for the White Sox without Garrett Crochet. And there were some good arms last year. You know, Drew Thorpe's going to be, you know, working his way back in spring training. The White Sox, you know, the luxury, I know some of you are rolling your eyes, but give me a second. The luxury that the White Sox have is that they can pick up the wily veterans at the tail. That's what we was talking about at the very end. We're going to get some guys to stabilize the rotation. We know who you're talking about. And, you know, some people complain about that. I think it's a good business decision. You're taking guys that nobody else really wants or to get them on the spring training roster. They don't want to, you know, commit the money or the dollars to them. The White Sox, it's like going to Marshall's and going into, you know, finding a deal. You know, it's a Tommy shirt. It's Calvin Klein, but it's, you know, got a little stain on it.
And it's only $15.
And it's $15 and you're wearing it. And you don't mind if you throw it away at the end of the party. You know what I'm saying?
No one needs to know how much you spent.
This is great. This is actually a great analogy, right? No one knows how much you spent. You come, and the thing is this, somebody might be like, that's a nice shirt. Where'd you get it? And you're like, hey, you know what? I'll give it to you. You like this shirt so much? Yeah. He's like, man, they're like, I really like that shirt. You've worn it twice now. You know, you've worn it twice now. And man, I saw everybody looking at you. I want that same thing.
So you flip it and you sell it for like the original price tag that they had.
Or you get two, you know, brand new pairs of jeans. And they're like, man, I'll give you these two brand new pairs of jeans. I'm not even wearing them. I got so many new pairs of jeans, a la players in Major League Baseball. I got so many jeans. So I got these new ones that I haven't even opened yet, a la minor league players. And I'll give you these two new jeans for that shirt because that's the shirt that I'm missing right there. And then you do it. And I, you know, as a guy who shops at Marshall's and Ross, I got no problem with that. Living on the edge, I'll tell you that. But what does Chris Getz think about, what does he think about the long-term future of the Chicago White Sox?
How do you feel about the long-term future now as opposed to this time yesterday?
I feel a lot better. you know, I do. And you know, we were focused on bringing in as much high-end talent that we could, and we were able to accomplish that. You know, you're not necessarily focused too much on proximity, but in this case, you know, they happen to be upper-level players, and Braden just getting started, but just coming out of college. And, you know, we want to do what's right for each player in regards to their development journey. But we feel like, you know, it's just a diversified group that's really going to help improve our roster.
Chris Getz talking about the long-term future of the Chicago White Sox after finalizing the trade for Garrett Crochet today. Just came down the pipeline. So it'd be interesting to see if Luis Robert Jr. makes his way out of the South Side as well. And just, you know, see what that spring training roster is going to look like. Because it's going to be interesting. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick. I always go to my Yahoo app and look and check out when, like, the first game is. Do you want to take a guess? Tyler Butebaugh producing today, by the way. Fantastic job so far. do you want to know or take a guess at the first day of a spring training game for the Cubs or the White Sox?
I thought I just looked. Isn't it like...
You're sick like me, huh?
Yeah, it's like late February.
February 22nd.
Yeah.
That's around the corner, my friends. Like, that's a Auld Lang Syne and a Cupid away. Yeah? So, it'll be here before you know it. Can't wait to see what that looks like. Can't wait to see what Will Venable looks like for the Chicago White Sox as well. Just, you know, if you're a fan's fan, you just want to see your team play hard. You know, if you're smart enough to know you're not going to win the World Series or the Super Bowl or the NBA Championship every year, then you want your team to be competitive and you want to do that. So, speaking of our teams that we want to be competitive, the Bears, certainly one of them. I got my big Bears take coming up in just a second. But before Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in Monday starting at 5 for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley will join Spiegel and Holmes to get you set for the game. Then following the game, Olin, Pat, and Layla Rahimi will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonder vs. Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. All right, my big Bears thought, and it is this. I've been hearing a lot, you know, just doing a bunch of shows, right? Like overnights after Bears games and driving around just like you guys do. And everyone just so, like, I feel like 70% of the people just complain about the organization and how it's ran and how, and then they try to correlate that with the inability to have high performing quarterbacks for the Chicago Bears. So the organization sucks. We'll never have a good quarterback. We've ruined two quarterbacks already. We're going to do the same to Caleb Williams. This is what I've been hearing ad nauseum. And it is sickening to hear. But I understand, right? If you're making a simple connection, if you're trying to, for that matter, and you're trying to say, okay, the organization is bad, therefore we'll never get things right. There's just one thing that's different. One thing. It's like one of those pictures you look at, right? What's the difference? And when you're looking at Mitch Trubisky and the GM and the coach, and then you look at Justin Fields and you look at the GM and the coach, and then you look at Caleb Williams and you look at the GM and the coach, there's one thing that is different out of the nine of those people right there. And it's Caleb Williams. And I know you can say, oh, okay, but no. It's as simple as that. Caleb Williams is better than Justin Fields. Caleb Williams is better than Mitchell Trubisky, right? And he's a rookie. And so what is different is the quarterback. And I think since forever, right? We've been trying to find a good quarterback, a really, really good quarterback, one that is in the upper echelon of the NFL. And not to say that Caleb's there yet, right? I think we can all agree he's not. But he's, in my mind, the closest thing that is going to get there. Even if he doesn't get there, at least he'll be the closest. And I feel confident in that, right? Where it's easier to build a team, easier for a general manager to go get some offensive linemen. Like, think about what you're missing. And not to be a Super Bowl contending team, but to be a good team, like a really good team. Think about what you're missing. You're one offseason away, where 2 years ago, you were multiple seasons. People were like, oh, yeah, Bears, the window's going to start in a couple of years. Many a conversations with Hub Arkish, many a conversations with Dave Wannstedt. Years away. The Bears are not years away right now. They are an offseason away from being that good, right? Maybe not Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs, or, you know, running the table like the Detroit Lions good. I'm not saying that good. But Tampa Bay Buccaneers good. When Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's playing. They are Man, those teams in the AFC are really good. I was gonna throw out one of them. I was gonna throw out the Ravens or the Bills. I was like, okay, no, those are upper echelon teams. I was like, who's sneaking into the playoffs right now? They'll be Pittsburgh Steelers good.
Houston Texans
good next year. Right? And it'll be a genuine expectation for the Chicago Bears team as opposed to assuming a bump from a rookie quarterback and assuming a bump from the talent that you have because you still got to get the ball to them and assume, like, all that stuff. gonna look different. It's gonna look different, but I want you to be optimistic. I heard Spiegel talking about cynicism and how it's easy to live in that space when you're here behind the microphone or just a genuine Bears fan. And I want you to be the opposite when it comes to that specific thing. All right, you don't like the organization and the people up front, fine. But don't jump to the conclusion that it will all be the same, because it's not. You have somebody else under center that is built different. His name is Caleb Williams. And we're going to talk about him next with our guest, Sam Monson from the 33rd team. Does he think that it is as simple as the organization sucks, therefore Caleb Williams is going to be a disaster? Or does he feel like Caleb Williams is the diamond in the rough for this Chicago Bears organization? Sam Monson joins us next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here, live and local on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
The goal always, I don't care what my role is, to win football games, right? We didn't win. So that's always going to be the focus and the point of emphasis. And I got to do a better job. Again, it always starts with me. So communicate better to the entire staff. Continue to try to find ways to demand more from my players so we can show up on game day and play the right way. We played a really good football team, and they kicked our butts.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Tough task for Thomas Brown to take a team that is emotionally defeated and have them come out and play at a high level, a level that they haven't played at all year long. But that is what he's being tasked with, and his next opportunity will be Monday against the Minnesota Vikings. That's, man, it's tough. Niners, I don't care what you thought about them. Still the Niners. Still Kyle Shanahan. Still the Vikings. Or Thomas Brown. But he has the opportunity. And the players have an opportunity as well to just kind of gel. I mean, listen, a lot of things went wrong for the Bears on Sunday that had been going wrong for them all season long. Inability to score points in the first quarter. The inability to get your offense going and picking up first downs. Defense continued to deteriorate. Some bigger problems there. Again, things that you couldn't point to much, to many things that looked as though they changed. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about some other teams around the NFL with our next guest, co-host of Check the Mic podcast on the 33rd team. He's joining us right now on our hotline, our Turo hotline. It is Sam Monson. Sam, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, thanks for having me anytime.
So let's talk about this Bears team. I mean, after the game on Sunday, tell me first what you were anticipating. Not necessarily the result, but maybe what the team looked like.
Yeah, I thought it would be a reasonably close game. If for no other reason, then the 49ers have not looked like that for the majority of the season. You know, I think Chicago has played a couple of close games after making a change. They had run division rivals close, and then they just get destroyed by the 49ers. And part of that is they were kind of the same story in the first half, and that's been a real problem for them. In the last couple of weeks, they've let teams get out to the leads, and then they've been able to pull them back. Well, they did the same thing against San Francisco. They let them get out to the lead, but they just were never really able to execute the kind of comeback that they've been able to do in the last couple of games.
So, Sam, how do you evaluate, you know, in your mind, like, how are you evaluating Caleb Williams, right? From the very beginning, you had, obviously the head coach, OC, all in place. Then, of course, the team's dealing with some turmoil after the bye week. His play sort of dips. They fire the offensive coordinator. So how are you trying? Like, it's difficult, right, to try to get a good gauge of who Caleb Williams is and what he can be.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's been a roller coaster. He started off struggling, and then we saw a kind of a bounce back, a resurgence, and things looked like they were heading in the right direction. Again, you know, changes were made at coaching. They fire the offensive coordinator, and then we see his play jump back up again, and then it dips off again. It really has been a roller coaster ride for him, and I think it's difficult because the way everybody talked about Shane Waldron after they let him go, it really was placing a ton of blame at his doorstep. And some of the things being said about, you know, this was sort of day one in training camp and installs, those kinds of things, that's not the kind of thing you can fix overnight. You know, if this was a kind of institutional lack of details and, you know, really getting everything right from the foundations, you're not going to fix that just by letting that guy go. That was an opportunity missed at that point. You know, it's something that you're going to have to claw back in the offseason once you get around to it. So I think we saw these kind of small bounces once they make changes, but it's not going to completely change and it's not going to completely turn around. It's going to need an offseason to kind of correctly install everything again and put all the details back in. So yeah. I think Caleb Williams, you know, we've seen incredible plays. We've seen highlights out of him. I think really this year for him, it's just about survival. Just get to the end of the year. Don't develop bad habits. And then we'll try and reboot the whole thing in the offseason and, you know, do it properly next year.
It's interesting, Sam. You brought up the fact of, obviously, you know, the turnover during the season, Shane Waldron moving on. So initially there was a finger pointed at him. Then the finger was pointed at Matt Eberflus. Who now does the finger get pointed at? If, you know, I guess I'm trying to ask you more so about, do you feel like there's a level of pressure on Ryan Poles, or has he done his best to put the best product out there and he still hasn't given his full life cycle, so to speak, of what the rebuild was supposed to be?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think generally he's done a solid job. You know, this people talked about this being the best situation a number one quarterback was going to step into, you know, maybe ever, certainly for a long time. And I don't think that was wrong. Like, I think there was a lot of truth to that in terms of the receiving core that he had to work with. The defense is really good. There's a lot good about this team, but there are still some weaknesses and some flaws. And the offensive line, I think, is definitely a work in progress that still needs upgrading in the offseason. So there are areas where you can look at and say, look, Poles has not fixed this yet. And of course, the other thing is they had a chance. They could have gone a different direction in the offseason at coach. You know, Eberflus, they had a chance to say, look, this is a natural point for a clean break. We're getting rid of Justin Fields, the last guy. We're going to bring in a new coach to go with our new quarterback and start afresh. And he didn't. He decided, you know, Eberflus showed enough late in the season to give him another go. And you tied this sort of incumbent head coach to a new quarterback, which is an interesting way of doing it. Doesn't always work that way. And the Bears have done it, you know, a few times in a row now, sort of had almost this lame duck coach in the first year of a rookie quarterback. So I think you can construct an argument right now in either direction for Poles. If you want to focus on the negatives, you can say, look, these are critical areas that he got wrong and that's not good enough and we're going to do something different. Or you can look at it and say, look, he tore this thing down to bare bones. He's built it back up. A lot has gone well. There's just a couple of areas that still need work and he's still the guy to put it right.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be given a little bit of a leash, and certainly we're going to be able to see what he's going to do, Sam, with this head coaching search, right? Him, Kevin Warren, both aligned, trying to find the best guy. When you're looking at this team and the holes that it does have, right? Not, I mean, obviously, you're still looking to develop the quarterback. Your defense, I mentioned it a second ago, kind of deteriorating before our eyes. In your mind, who, or not the guy, I'm not looking for a name, but more so the personality traits. Is it just as simple as an offensive-minded head coach that just comes in and fixes things?
Yeah, well, I think obviously what you want is, I think you're going to be focused on offense. You know, you want the right guy to come in and effectively steward the development of Caleb Williams because that's the most important thing for this franchise. Caleb Williams has legitimate, special talent, incredible ability, but already it's a roller coaster. It's not there yet, and we're seeing some of the mercurial aspect of his play, both good and bad, throughout the course of his rookie season. You need a guy to come in who understands what Caleb Williams is, what his strengths and weaknesses are, what the best offense and the best personnel is going to be to get him to where he can be. And that doesn't necessarily mean that that guy needs to be the head coach. You know, Brian Flores is a guy, I think, that will get head coaching interviews again this offseason, the Vikings defense coordinator. And obviously he's a defensive-minded guy. And not just that, but a defensive-minded guy whose relationship with the last quarterback he was in charge of as a head coach, Tua Tagovailoa in Miami, was not good from the sounds of it. So, you know, that does not sound like a good fit to pair Brian Flores with Caleb Williams. But if Brian Flores has his eye on the right offensive coordinator, it might make sense. You know, it's about who is that guy that's going to be working with Caleb Williams, whether he's the head coach or the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Tough decision to make, right? And I really do hope that the Bears make the right one. I'm a Bears fan. You know that, Sam. So I'm just tired of it. I just would love for something. Were you shocked that Belichick went to UNC when you saw it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly shocked when the first reports came out that he was interested in that. I guess from the sounds of it, he's carved himself like a pretty sweet role. Like he's not going to be doing any of the recruiting. He's just the coach. He's just the guy that's going to coach ball the way he likes. And it's also sort of setting up his son as a successor in a few years' time. So, I mean, I guess it makes some sense, but I think it really, to me, highlights that the NFL was not breaking his door down to come back. You know, I think if he had an NFL offer on the table or one that was likely to show up, I don't think he'd take this job. But taking it suggests to me that the NFL is basically done with Belichick, and if he wants to coach again, it's going to have to be in college.
Yeah, I could see that. No one was sliding in his DMs, Sam, to try to get that job going. When we're talking about teams in the NFL, love to get your thoughts on just the top-tier teams, you know, those that you feel like are going to make their run. Let's leave Kansas City off of that list. I mean, obviously, they sit in a place all of their own. Let's focus on the NFC specifically. Is it as simple as Detroit just running away easily to the Super Bowl, or do you feel like there are some teams, you know, not named Philadelphia, that could kind of step in and maybe surprise some people?
Yeah, maybe not to the Super Bowl, but it does look like we're really on a collision course between Detroit and Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. I think that's the most likely outcome right now. Now, look, Minnesota keeps winning games, and they're only a game back, and they fought Detroit tough the last time they played. Like, the Vikings are certainly a live threat to anybody in the NFC. I think Green Bay is potentially a live threat to anybody in the NFC as well. And this is just another reason the Bears really need to get this coaching search right, because right now, you know, the other three teams in that division all look really good and don't appear to be going anywhere anytime soon. So I think those are really the strong teams in the NFC. The West is kind of chaotic as a division. The South, I don't think it's going to scare anybody. It's really that NFC North and then Philadelphia.
It's funny, Sam, because when I look at the playoff picture, and there's always that one team, right? Whether it's Tampa Bay or someone else, but this year I feel like it's Seattle. I feel like it's Seattle. They're 5-1 on the road, so they have zero problem going somewhere and try to beat up on people. They're very sneaky, because they do have a good offense. That we do know they have. You know, obviously the wide receiver threats, and for some reason or another, they just seem to figure it out. And the defense, I mean, they've only allowed 283 points. That sits right atop the NFC, right in that little bubble right there. So the defense is sneaky good. What do you think about a team like Seattle? Or do you just think their destiny is always what it's supposed to be, and that is a first or second round loser?
No, I think it's a good call. They're a really good dark horse. I don't think they're as consistent as the other teams that we were talking about, but they're definitely dangerous. You're right. The defense is good already, and it's getting better. I mean, this new scheme with Mike McDonald coming over as a first-time head coach, you know, that install, I think, is really starting to work now. Leonard Williams is playing out of his mind the last few games. There's a ton of talent on that side of the ball. The only weakness, really, on that depth chart is the offensive line, and even that is now stronger with the return of Abe Lucas at right tackle. You know, the interior is a little bit of a concern, but it's good. Like, it's a pretty good team. So I think it's definitely a good shout as a dark horse team if they come out of that division and make it and you know, challenge one of these teams in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, four straight victories for the Seattle Seahawks. It'll be interesting to see how they end up finishing off the season. Of course, one team stands in their way before playoffs begin. That is the Chicago Bears. So we'll be able to see what they do there. Sam, one last question before I get you out of here. Just talking about the AFC, obviously I tried to have the conversation about the playoffs without Patrick Mahomes. But when you're looking at, you know, the others, the Buffaloes, the Baltimores, even the Pittsburgh Steelers, do you see one of those teams really hitting their stride, or excuse me, falling off from the stride that they're on right now before the playoffs start?
I mean, Pittsburgh just has this brutal schedule to come. You know, they, Kansas City does as well. But Pittsburgh in particular were one of those teams that got really hard done by with the schedule makers when they were dealing with the Christmas stuff. And, you know, they're one of those teams that had sort of 3 games in 10 days type of deal. That's going to be tough for them. They're against good teams as well. So I could definitely see Pittsburgh dropping a couple of those games and maybe sort of entering the postseason almost on a little bit of a sour note, but still being a really good team. Buffalo, they have to play Detroit still, so they could easily lose that game. Generally, though, I think the AFC, it kind of feels pretty set. I think it's a lot more locked in place than the NFC is.
Yeah, unless Miami continues to pull off some victories and finds their way into that position. But we'll see. It's going to be great stuff. I love the playoffs. Can't wait till they start. It's going to be great games all the way around. Sam, I appreciate you jumping on, man, talking some NFL and some Chicago Bears with me.
Anytime. Thanks for having me. Take it easy.
Sam Monson, co-host of Check the Mic podcast on the 33rd team. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam Monson NFL. He's a good guy to follow if you want to gamble, you know, because he knows a little bit about every team. And if you pay attention to what he really says, then you can kind of find yourself in a sweet spot. All right, Tyler, I want to open up the phone lines right now. And Tyler Beautyball producing today. He'll be the one answering your calls. We were talking today, Tyler and I, via text, and we were going to do the, you know, what's your coach wish list? And I said, you know, I feel like I've done that a couple times on some shows. I was like, what else can we do? And then I said, it is the holidays. And some of you out there that have older daughters or sons, you've gone to Build-A-Bear. You know, where you're able to pick pieces that you like and you put it together and they put some cushion in there. And then all of a sudden, fuagata. You got yourself a bear. So what I want to do now is I want to build a coach. You know, I want to build a coach. So it's so easy, it's very difficult to throw out names, right? Because you're going to end up throwing out the same names everybody does, right? Joe Brady, Ben Johnson, Mike Vrabel. But what if we could take certain aspects of certain coaches and put them together to create one? You know, the grit of Coach A with the late game heroics of a Coach C, the podium of a Coach F, right? So that's what I want you to do right now. 312-644-6767. We're talking about the next coach of the Chicago Bears. You never know. Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, they could be listening. You could be dropping a dime, a gem on their heads right now. Build your coach. You don't have to build a whole thing. You can even just tell me like what attributes you want from certain coaches, like what you want in a coach, what specifically do you want? And then you can use a coach as an example. I want a guy that does this like this guy. I want a guy that does this like that. 312-644-6767. Build a coach with me, Gabe Ramirez, next right here on 670 The Score.
If you build it, they will come.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. And I feel bad for all my college students that are out there cramming for finals, or all my marketing people that are working on Canva or trying to create some sort of something. ChatGPT is down. I've been seeing people tweet about it on Twitter, and everybody's like, oh no, how am I going to get my work done?
It's funny. I was just talking to my brother yesterday because he's got finals coming up, and he's just like, because I was telling him, like, you got to be careful with ChatGPT because now colleges, they can detect.
Yep.
But
what's artificial
now
intelligence?
He's screwed.
Now he actually has to write his paper. What a thought.
Oh, bummer.
Bummer. All right. We are taking phone calls. 312-644-6767. You heard of Build a Bear. Well, we're going to build a Bears coach. That's what it should have been. Build a Bears coach. Because it's too boring to throw out the same five names and talk about Ben Johnson to death, who I don't want, by the way. I do not want Ben Johnson. I know. I get it. But he's amazing. Oh, my God. He's amazing. No, I'm out. But I think that we can take characteristics, traits from other coaches that we enjoy or like, and kind of say we want those. You can text Chicago_Gabe. That's me. But you can call or text in 312-644-6767. All right, before we go to the phone lines, got a couple of people lined up. Got some lines open, too, if you want to call in. A47 says, I want the fluff or filling of Andy Reid. That's great. He wants a healthy coach, a nice, healthy coach. I don't want none of these Mike McDaniel skinny guys. these little guys. You know, I'm a healthy guy that looks like an old school, somebody that coached me at Lane Tech or something like that.
And likes his cheeseburgers.
630 says, I'll definitely go with a combination of talent and personality in Chuck Knoll. Appreciate that. Tom Landry, Andy Reid, and John Madden. And let's not forget a touch of fiery Dicka. Okay. That's what I'm talking about right there. I want you to be able to do those kinds of things. Show me who you got over there. All right, let's go to Vince out in Gurnee. Vince, welcome to the show. All right, we're doing Build the Bears. Head coach, what you got for me?
All right, so if we start with our podium presence, I want to go with Mike Tomlin.
Love this. Okay?
He gets to the questions, but he's kind of no nonsense, so I love that. But also, if I want a couple zingers, if I want a guy that I know everyone's going to kind of like, throw in a little dash of Rex Ryan into my coaching personality in terms of my dealings with the media.
Because you need that in Chicago. You need that in Chicago.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And then from there, when it comes to my locker room leadership presence, I want John Harbaugh. Okay, he's had a lot of veteran guys on his team. He's coach of an MVP. So I think I'm going to go with John Harbaugh as far as my locker room guy.
I love this.
And then when it comes to X's and O's.
Wait. You mean the guy that the Bears could have had? Okay, keep going.
And then on offense, X's and O's, I do still think Sean McVay is one of the brighter minds in the NFL, even though that audio and footage that he had with Matthew Stafford, where he was just gave him a play for like 5 minutes, like that was kind of insane. But he's still an offensive genius, and I really think that he almost doesn't get the credit he deserves just because the Rams are kind of having a weird season this year. And then on defense, let me get Bill Belichick. It always seemed like when he was the coach on the Patriots, he was always a step ahead of everyone. He always kind of knew the rules in terms of formations and all that. So when it comes to defensive expert, give me Bill Belichick. So I think that's how I would build my Chicago.
All right, Vince, man, I appreciate that. Thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. Vince had the presence of Mike Tomlin with a dash of Rex Ryan, locker room leader Jim Harbaugh, X's and O's of Sean McVay, and the defense of Bill Belichick. I'm here for it. I have zero problem with that whatsoever. That sounds like if you were building a coach in Madden, that's who you that build something like that.
Like your dynasty league?
Yeah. Somebody said, oh, he needs a mustache, and he must like polar sausages. Somebody said that for the 630. Oh, gosh. People are hilarious, man. 815 says, Ruthie Polinsky sold me on Flores. I mean, yeah, I get it. I mean, listen, when you were hearing the players, Mercedes Lewis specifically, say, hey, we are not being coached hard enough. This is the NFL. There has to be a guy. You have to have a guy. And that's why they're looking for a leader of men. But you got to have a guy that, how do I put it? It's like sometimes, like I have kids now. And I used to get hit growing up. But I would never hit my girls. But you want them to be scared of it. You know what I'm saying? The thought of it, right? I'll never do it. I'm never going to touch my girls. They're amazing. But I'll be like, hey. You know, I do that one too. Hey, and then they're like, ooh, straighten up. They never know. Daddy's crazy. Poppy's crazy. And so I feel like NFL players need that too. They need that authoritarian there to not necessarily go too hard, because then players won't respond to that. But you need someone that they're fearful of a little bit. Like, damn, will he cut me? Is he going to cut me? Instead of, there's no way they're cutting me, right? There's a difference there. 312-644-6767. Coming up next, because I want to make sure that we stay on time here. We got Eno Saris. He covers Major League Baseball on The Athletic. Going to talk to him about what the Cubs kind of have done and what the White Sox have done as well. After, if you have not heard and are just getting in your car, have traded Garrett Crochet. So we'll talk to Eno Saris from The Athletic next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.